Welcome to the DS-106 Good Spell Episode 25. One of 106 bullets, Mantras and Cones explore the open online course Digital Storytelling 106. Meditations and rambles about education, openness, open education, art, fun and learning. I'm John Johnson, and with me as usual is Mariana Funes. Radio.
Radio. Radio.
I want you to do something. I want you to get yourself out of the bed and get over to the window and scream as loud as you can. DS-106 Radio, Good Spell. Otherwise, you only have another 3 minutes to live.
I think we should be on the... Can you hear me okay, Maria?
I can hear you okay, and Rochelle tells us that the bumper was live, so hopefully we are live too.
a wee bit of hassle getting on doesn't do any harm, and I think almost for once it wasn't my mistake, but then I just threw in a couple of mistakes for fun, and I think that's pretty apt for the bullet for this week, Mariana. This is episode 2 of the spring term, I think possibly episode 25 altogether, which will be make it bullet 23, so it's number 2 this term, and you've said DS-106 Radio has been a joy to engage with. So good to train a new sense.
I did say that.
Yeah, it's quite a simple bullet for yourself, Mariana, that I could understand it straight away. And we're on.
Good.
DS-106 Radio, hopefully. And we are talking about DS-106 Radio. So a nice wee bit of recursion going on. And we'll see what sort of knots we can tie ourselves into. For anybody who's listening who hasn't listened before, the history of DS-106 Radio is pretty much lost to me. Do you know when it actually started, Mariana?
Oh, we would need to get Alan on Skype, yeah, to tell us the whole story. It came as an idea from the students. Somebody put together XYZ bits that were needed, the software, somebody who understood about radio put it together, and it was a kind of student project that stayed, as far as I know. I mean, I don't know much more than that.
I think Grant Potter and Alan kind of run the servers, and it's running off an Icecast server, which is a sort of internet protocol, which is pretty old, I think. It's not sort of newfangled technology as far as the internet goes, and it allows us to connect up and stream audio out, in my case, through an application called Nicecast. And you can, if you're clever, you can bring in other things and mix different things together. So at the moment, we are broadcasting a Skype conversation from between Mariana and myself, and earlier on, we played a couple of bumpers that have been sent to us to play. The second of which, as I said, was from Rochelle. And the first one, I think, was by Andy Clay.
Yes, Andrew Clay. He is he's from the UK, and he is an open participant, and he's doing the open course, doing it, I guess, at his own pace, but taking his students at his university through it.
Okay.
So that's why he's been quite systematic about it all, and he's kind of doing, you know, week one and doing week summaries and doing everything the way, quotes, one is supposed to do it. And this, I think, was his first bumper, and he hadn't done much radio, so it was a kind of big challenge for him, which is why I thought it might be a nice thing to play today in particular because of the fact that we were talking about the S 106 radio. And I know from myself, you know, the part of the reason for that bullet was that it was not my expectation that doing radio was something that I would find a joy to engage with. Like the bullet says, it was quite the opposite. I always remember looking at the syllabus when I first started and getting very excited about everything that we were going to do on the S106, and then seeing the radio and panicking, the radio week and panicking, and then going further down and going, oh my God, a radio show? Are you kidding me? So it was a big contrast, the reality that I found and how I kind of I stayed on the radio, as it were, versus my expectation that I would not enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. I mean, there's a lot of interesting things in radio. When people come to it at first, they do get a bit nervy. I don't know if it's something about not liking hearing their own voice. It's also not a medium, the radio, that as many people are used to. I know when I was teaching kids to podcast at school, if they listened to the radio at all, it would be music radio. A chunk of DS106 is music radio. We do take an awful lot from talk radio as well, and it's maybe slightly more alien. People are more used to watching movies or reading even than they are listening to talk radio now.
That is what you know, the second part of that bullet meant, this thing about training a new sense. Because I would say that I am somebody who is very visual, and I enjoy, you know, kind of the stuff that has to do with the sort of visual channel, but there is something, you know, something really special about discovering the radio and what radio can project. And, you know, things like when we've done in the past some of the audio assignments that we've done with, you know, telling a story with four sounds and finding the right sounds, these are things I don't think I'll ever forget. When we were doing the Foley thing, the Foley sounds, my efficient mind said, well why would I think one of our assignments said something about creating the sounds from scratch in your house and recording those. And I would go, why would we want to do that? Why can't I not just download lots of different sounds and create my story? And it is only when you do it and you notice the difference between creating your own sounds and telling your story just in sounds that you are creating versus the editing of sounds, that you learn the difference. And there is a kind of way in which it trains your auditory sense, or certainly it did for me, because I wouldn't say that I am musical or auditory in any way. I mean, clearly for other people it's not like that, because they've been with music all their lives, but I'm not like that. So it was just a wonderful discovery for me.
I have no musical. I mean, I don't think I can really clap in time for more than a couple of claps. But some people on DS106 are really musical. We just had a wee bumper by Rochelle, and Rochelle, obviously, not necessarily just through the bumper, but through others, she's put other songs out and things like that. And she is a really incredible musician. And we've got Viv, who, yes, we've got a wee song to play tonight, who is a musician as well.
Shall we play that now?
We'll just move into this. So I don't know how you... I'm going to play it and then you can talk about it, maybe, Mariana.
It might give us an entry into talking about Noir 106.
So that answers Rochelle's question, who just asked about we're going to do any noir tonight. Well, if this is noir, We'll do some noir, will we? So let's go.
Health and safety inspector, get down from up there. Don't you know that you're out of your mind? Miss Tina, my friend, I hope you're aware your art is not very refined. But miss, what's this? safety inspector, making artwork now as sweet as nectar. She was plain little Talkie, the doll from Milwaukee. But mother of God, look what happened to Tina. From now on, her daily art will be considered good as Leonardo. And the guys down in Fred are the toast of the web. Christina and Coddog, what happened to Tina? Every GIF and sound recording she creates, smart and meticulous, talk about the artwork Talkie Tina makes. But this is ridiculous. Hold your tweets and hold your memes for the new Van Gogh of 2015. He's playing little Talkie, the girl from Milwaukee. Rattle me gifts, look what happened to Tina. Someone who couldn't draw a line on the web is Lichtenstein, and the doll with the hair who inspected your stare is something to see. Look what happened to Tina. Yesterday, a safety inspector, but today just turn on that projector and Miss Talkie T is a celebrity. Holy Jim Broom, look what happened to Tina. Up to now, I never really knew that I was so unartistic, and suddenly I know I have to change my ways, become more stylistic. I know that you might think I'm crazy, and recently she's been a bit lazy. She's back on the scene now, she's hit the art scene now. Rattle me gifts, look what happened to Tina. Up to now, I never really knew that I was so unartistic. Suddenly, I know I have to change my ways, be much more stylistic. I know that you might think I'm crazy, and recently she's been a bit lazy. She's back on the scene now, she's hit the art scene now. She's up to her twigs on Noir 106.
That's why. Hi, Mariana. We were just talking to Tina and listening to Viv talking about Tina there. Somewhat confusing. I think I'm having volume problems. I've got everything turned up here, but I didn't seem to get the volumes right playing out. It will be sorted in the archive, which is one of the nice things about doing a wee bit of post.
Oh, do you want to say? Do you want to say a little bit about that? Because again, if maybe the new students when they come to the radio show want to learn a bit more about how you do that.
How you do that? I have no idea how Viv did that with an amazing amount of musicality, skill, and humour. I would have said. I don't know what sort of.
She wrote the lyrics.
But the style is I don't know what year, era. It's probably taken off a tune that I know in the back of my head but can't quite get due to my lack of musicality, and takes you through the story of one of the more famous and notorious characters in DS-106.
Our movie star. We have a movie star in our community.
I noticed that Jim and Martha and Paul Bond in their weekly noir assignments referred to Talkie Tina and how that although she can be very helpful very often to students and does, as Viv acknowledged in the song, produce some meticulous audio and video and GIFs and things, she also occasionally can be seen as slightly difficult.
Did you get that bit in the song when Viv gives Tina a bit of feedback, saying that she's been a bit lazy lately?
Oh no, I did.
I thought that was just so lovely, and she started, you know, to produce more and do more things. She loved the song because, you know, she was excited about having a song, you know, written, you know, for her. But yes, one of the lines of the song says that, you know, that she's lovely, even though, you know, even though she's been a bit lazy lately.
I don't know. I'd probably need to listen again. As I say, I just came home and downloaded that today and didn't quite catch all of the lyrics. But it's a lovely kind of example of DS-106. I'm not sure, it's probably because I don't have much musical knowledge how noir that is, but I think it's the way that DS-106...
I think in terms of the sort of timing of that type of music, Rochelle might know a bit more, because I know that she has been doing some research into noir music, trying to find some Creative Commons type of noir music for a secret project that we are working on.
Right, okay. That sounds interesting. There's an awful lot of secrets of DS-106, that's the thing.
That does involve Miss Tokitina too, if I may say.
Oh, right. Very cool.
Yeah. We've managed to secure her a contract with her.
Right. And when you're talking about Tokitina, you maybe just want to be clear what type of contract you're talking about.
And when we're talking about Noir 106.
Yeah, she was waving a pair of scissors about quite dramatically a wee while ago. So this is just probably be quite careful, I think, and treat the lady with the respect that she deserves. This is a long history.
The radio, you know, I think I saw on a blog post that Martha wrote about, you know, on the Noir 106 theme, and apparently there are also quite a lot of old radio dramas that fit with the noir style. I haven't had an opportunity to listen to anything. But I suppose, you know, given all the kind of melodramatic voiceovers that I've heard in the films I've seen, I imagine that radio does lend itself quite well for that, with all the, you know, dramatic sound effects and so on. It's on my list of things to do, but apparently it is something that was done quite a lot at the time.
Yeah, and still, I think the point of to a radio series, an audio series for folk to listen to, which I haven't listened to yet, but last year or so there was actually the BBC redid all the Raymond Chandler novels, and I know that I remember listening with interest when Jim was talking about Raymond Chandler and the Hard Boiled course that he ran about hard boiled novels, and Chandler wasn't particularly hard boiled, but I would have said it was fairly squarely in the noir bracket. And I can't remember who, Toby somebody or other who's English did the voice of Marlowe on the radio last year, 2 years ago, on the BBC. That was just great. Unfortunately, it was one of these ones the BBC do, which they just allow you to listen to live, and they provide a lot of stuff for as a podcast, but this one they didn't. I'm guessing for either contractual or financial reasons or something like that, but it was great. So I definitely think it's a sort of style that suits listening to the voice quite a lot, the old fashioned, and some of these old writers I think have a great voice. I'm a particular fan of Raymond Chandler, just for all sorts of reasons, you know. I've read them many times since I was young. I'd continue to read it and go back and enjoy them.
You would do a very good voiceover.
Yeah, I found, funnily enough, because when I started DS-106, the thing that I wasn't particularly worried about was the radio until the first time it came around. I was in a group to do it, and I was thinking of doing, of course, something very straightforward and factual, I suppose. And the group, of course, voted for fiction and zombies, neither of which I particularly like. So, you know, so, or I don't say I don't like fiction, but I would be nervous about putting on a fictional voice. But I really, I think still it's the thing I've done in DS106 which I enjoyed the most, was producing that bit of audio, which is quite strange.
I've heard Alan say, you know, talk about this, that it isn't an unusual experience that students, they see that there is a kind of radio show and audio week and all of that, and they look at that, and at the start, often, you know, they will think, oh no, I don't want to do this, either because of anxiety to do it, or because they just think it's going to be boring. But it's also not unusual that the experience we had, that once you get a hold of it and you understand the potential and the kind of depth of it, that you you get really into it and want to learn and do it better, kind of thing. So it certainly has been my experience, and I know a lot of the people that, you know, but what people like Rochelle, you know, doing the because she likes the radio and she's doing quite a bit of it now, and then a lot of us who work with the DS106 radio, there is a kind of almost like a subculture, isn't there? Those people that kind of within DS106 that really love the radio, that will take the opportunity to, you know, do the best they can to always listen to people when they're live and all of that. So you create a little bit of, and the people that like to play their music or to do, you know, to do the talky thing like you and I do.
And again, there's something quite attractive about the music stuff. I listened to some of Rochelle's shows, although they were at odd times for us, and I guess this is probably an odd time for them, which is kind of one of the drawbacks of live. But I think there's enough pluses for live to make it worthwhile going over, you know, getting by the sort of drawbacks. And there's very different experience making, doing live radio than it is to do a podcast.
Yes, I think so. Well, I mean, one of the things for example, it works out quite well with the difference in timing. The New Zealand, there's a lot of people in New Zealand, and there are a number of them that do a lot of the SY106 radio, and it happens to be often when I'm waking up in the morning. And I've got into this habit now where I will check, you know, that we don't have. And sometimes I tweet and I go, is there, you know, anybody doing some, you know, nice music for me to wake up to? And sometimes if, you know, Kevin or Ishil or, you know, if they are around, they just play a few tunes, as they say. and then you get to, you know, there is something about that which is like, right, radio just for you, live radio just for you, because you asked.
Yeah. I guess it's because I suppose people my age anyway grew up with the radio and listening to pop radio, though, even though I'm not musical, I'm sorely tempted sometimes to do that. It's probably just time and good sense that stops me.
Yes, you don't tend to do. You tend to do more talky or interviews and things. You don't tend to do a lot of music.
No, I don't. I think that's, probably. I think you should. No, it may be interesting to play about with it sometime. What I do mean to do is actually for this show is to take over half an hour earlier and just play some sounds that would swing into it. But usually we're run about at the last minute, and you know, I don't get it done. Rockaloo saying that she multiple time zones can be quite interesting and fun. And I say it's okay if the insomnia kicks in at the right time, Rochelle.
then you can listen to Rochelle.
Then I would listen to Rochelle. It's certainly one of the things in DS-106 that seems to have kept people's interest and involvement over time. So that makes it quite interesting. I think too, and this is maybe going to have a bigger effect in years to come, is that podcasting is having a bit of a revival at the moment. Mm-hmm. There seems to be more people producing podcasts, and it's perhaps due just to the fact that mobile devices now, and better, at least in the first world, faster download speeds and things like that people seem to be interested. Some people seem to be making a good living from podcasting now, which is quite interesting. And it basically, in most cases, is talk radio and the other.
Yeah, well, I know that a number of people that they asked for where we put the archives, and that they take the podcasts and take them with them to listen, like when they're driving, that kind of thing. It's not something I've tried, to be fair, but I can see, because again, it's a similar thing to this idea that you have radio for yourself, because it's people you know and it's a small community. But with the podcasting, it's a similar thing. I suppose you can pick and choose, and then you could have your playlist with the stuff that you want to listen to, and not just put the radio on where you have no control. So, and at times when you're driving, that kind of thing, presumably having the choice is what makes people go, actually, maybe I just download a few podcasts, and that will be more fun than just listening to the radio that I do not control at all.
Yeah, certainly that's what I tend to listen to podcasts when I'm driving or on the bus. At the moment, I'm commuting a lot on the train, and I tend not to, because I can read on the train. And I find that I consuming two things at once is not you don't get the best out of either. Before we've probably run along a wee bit now, but before we go, I'm just wondering if you've noticed anything interesting in the current Noir 106 this week.
Well, shall I give you an exclusive about our secret project?
Well, you could do.
I could do. I have, Karen Young, who is somebody who has been involved in DS-106 for a while, and she was involved doing some of the radio shows that we did when we did the Headless 13. Yeah. She's got really interested in the idea of Noir 106, and sent an email to those of us who were working with her the last time, and now we've added a few more people, saying if we wanted to do a noir radio show for I think it's in March, late March, when the radio week is in Noir 106. And it seems like a lot of people are quite interested, and she's kind of managing it, which she's brilliant at that. And then the idea would be that then we would join with the Noir 106 students when they do their radio shows, and we'd have one that would be from the open students. So that's the secret that I've been hinting at over the last couple of weeks, because we've been talking and putting things in place to create a show. So that's one thing that's going on that I know. What other things have I noticed? I've noticed that the wonderful work that the Noir 106 students are doing, they've been working on the photo safaris and things. And one thing that really did stick in my mind is, I think somebody called Spencer Scott, he's been doing noir with Lego.
I haven't seen those ones, no.
Brilliant. It's really lovely. He started to send tweets one day about how he was getting his Lego ready to do the photographs with the different lights and things. And you think, what is he doing? And he's done, it's worth checking out, because he's done some really lovely things, just these things where it looks, all like a proper kind of noir film with Lego.
Brilliant. Yeah.
So that's one thing that's stuck in my mind this week.
There seems to be, I mean, I think there's at least three or possibly four class fulls of students this time, and that there is an incredible amount of work being churned out for these guys. And every time I seem to feel as if they're been asked to do even more than usual every week at the moment. It seems an incredible amount of work, and they seem to just dig at it with an amazing amount of enthusiasm.
I saw a tweet go by from one of them saying, you know, something along the lines, you know, just at what point, you know, one can be said to be blogging too much.
Yeah, it's just it just seems a ton of work, and even trying to just pop a few comments on here and there, and that feels like quite a lot to do in quite time consuming, just because there is this flood. So it's probably pretty patchy, is it? You know, I just grab half a dozen things out of the stream and comment on a couple now and again. And as you say, Photography Week, there's a great range of photography. And unfortunately, I can't remember any names, but I'm quite pleased to see so many people who say, well, I just take photographs normally by pointing the camera and things and shooting, because that's still my default position. But you can see in their posts that once they start putting something together and taking some ideas and things like that, that it's quite easy to step up a wee bit in photography, I think. Obviously it takes an awful lot to become great, and there are some great photographers in DS106, but just by doing the exercises, and you can get a wee jump and begin to understand a few things. I'm guessing I just usually fall back into the, oh, that looks pretty, and let's pull the phone out and take a badly framed shot because I can always crop it later. But if you think of something, you know, and if you take one of the lessons, and I say just one of the lessons, just think one of the things at a time, it really can make quite a nice difference. And it's lovely to watch that happening across the different classes. So
that whole thing about learning about composition and how to put together a photograph, and it is true that, you know, sometimes, you know, just a small amount of learning can if you enjoy making things and so on, then, you know, can make a big difference. Certainly, I wouldn't call myself a photographer by any means, but I would say that what I do now versus what I did before I heard anything, you know, around how to, you know, compose a photograph and framing and all of this, you know, it's much better than it ever was. And of course, a lot of the students in Mary Washington, they are, you know, like proper techies and proper artists, and like they're doing it, so they know already quite a lot, and improving in what they know, then what they can produce is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So I've been noticing that on the Daily Create, of course. Where, you know, if there isn't a course running in the at the university, often, you know, we get, you know, maybe, you know, 10, 12, 15 people that decide that they do something, and sometimes nobody. But now we're going into, you know, 40, sometimes 60 people, and you get all sorts of things that people produce on the Daily Create. So it's been a joy to, you know, to just think up of things for them to make, because they're so creative in what they're producing. It's nice to see that.
Yeah, no, it's a lovely course to watch, even if you can't if you can't keep up with it sometimes. I have been managing to listen to the videos from the bosses, from Jim and Paul and Martha, or probably
yes.
Martha, Paul and Jim, from the, if you're looking at it hierarchically, at least the videos, and enjoying those and doing wee bits and pieces.
But for us, of course, I mean, you know, we can enjoy, because we can do, you know, we don't have all the deadlines. I'm often, you know, thinking, my God, the amount of work they have to do, and there is no, you know, they have to do the whole lot, don't they?
Yeah.
They don't get to pick and choose what they fancy, so...
and jump ahead or whatever, or...
Yes, exactly.
Fall behind and move things.
Exactly.
Yeah, so... That's, I think that it's maybe an idea. I wonder, yeah, I suppose this is the for life aspect of DS106. After your course, then you can relax a bit and enjoy it for the rest of the while. Anyhow, Mariana, I think, unless we've got anything else, we'll call this a wrap.
Yep.
And we'll just play out with a wee bumper and then hang up the phones. Now, I'm hoping that this one will come up a bit more. I've got the gain hammered up in nice cast.
Hello and listen to the Masters Radio. In touch with God. In touch with God. Turn your radio on. Turn your radio on.
DS 106 Good Spell. Turn your radio on.